The EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan Lewis brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's EWTN Rome Bureau Chief, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider. This week, for a number of reasons, the interview segment will have to be the best of, but the news segment is current. My guest is Aliho. Aliho is the professional name of Sarah Ego, an Assyrian Orthodox singer who was born in Augsburg, Germany. We met at one of her many multilingual concerts in the Vatican, and she'll talk to us about her life as a singer and her dreams. And now, the news highlights. Sunday, the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, Pope Francis reflected on the mystery of the identity of God at the noon recitation of the Angelus in St. Peter's Square. He said the revelation of God's name in the Old Testament is fulfilled in the New, in the words of Christ and his mission of salvation. Jesus has shown us the face of God, one in substance and triune in persons. God is all and only love, in a subsisting relationship that creates, redeems, and sanctifies all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Monday, Pope Francis sent a message to the president of the Latin American and Caribbean Parliament, the Parlatino, on the occasion of its 33rd General Assembly as it meets on the theme of migration in Latin America and the Caribbean. He said the initiative aims to help make life more dignified for those who, having a homeland, regrettably do not find in their own countries adequate conditions of security and subsistence and are compelled to migrate to other places. He wrote that dialogue is essential to foster solidarity with those who've been deprived of their fundamental rights, as well as to increase willingness to accommodate those who flee from dramatic and inhuman situations. He repeated his previous calls to stop human trafficking, which is a scourge. Human beings cannot be treated as objects or commodities, for each one carries with him the image of God. Tuesday, we saw the first papal message for the first World Day of the Poor. The Vatican released Pope Francis's message for this day to be celebrated worldwide next November 19th on the theme, Let Us Love Not With Words But With Deeds. The Pope will preside Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on November 19th, after which there will be a lunch for about 500 poor in the Paul VI Hall. In his message, Francis writes, We are called to draw near to the poor, to encounter them, to meet their gaze, to embrace them, and to let them feel the warmth of love that breaks through their solitude. Their outstretched hand is also an invitation to step out of our certainties and comforts and to acknowledge the value of poverty itself. What the Holy Father asks above all in his message is that we express our closeness to the poor in deeds and action, not just kind words. The Pope explained that at the conclusion of the Jubilee of Mercy, I wanted to offer the Church a World Day of the Poor so that throughout the world, Christian communities can become an ever greater sign of Christ's charity for the least and for those most in need. Also Tuesday, we learned that Pope Francis sent a handwritten message to Patriarch Bartholomew I of Constantinople with well wishes for his name day. The feast of the Apostle St. Bartholomew is celebrated in the Oriental churches on June 11th. Also Tuesday, Pope Francis on May 16 appointed 45 ordinary members and 5 honorary members to the Pontifical Academy of Life, although the names were revealed only Tuesday of this week. On December 31st, 2016, the appointments of all previous 139 members had ceased. Of the 50 members named Tuesday, just 28 of the previous 139 were renamed. In 1994, Pope John Paul established the Pontifical Academy for Life with the purpose of promoting the Church's consistent life ethic and carrying out research on bioethics and Catholic moral theology. Now, Wednesday, of course, was the general audience in St. Peter's Square, but before going to the square, the Pope met with some ill people in the Paul VI Hall. There was a delightful, spontaneous exchange, and he reminded the people it was cooler inside and they could watch events on the large screens. Now, the Pope focused the general audience catechesis on Christian hope, saying, We have found the source of that hope in God's unconditional love, revealed for us in the coming of the Son and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So much unhappiness in the world is born of the feeling of not being loved for our own sake, he said. Francis said, Faith teaches us that God loves us with an infinite love, not for any merit of our own, but out of his sheer goodness. Even when we stray from him, God seeks us out like the merciful father in the parable of the prodigal son. He offers us forgiveness and restores us to his embrace. Wednesday, there was a briefing on the C9 meeting, that is to say the nine cardinal advisors with Pope Francis, who'd been meeting with the Pope Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning and afternoon, except, of course, for the audience. Wednesday morning, the Pope was in the square. The briefing said that further consideration was given to the ways the Roman Curia can better serve the local churches. For example, a consultation board might be made up of members of consecrated life and the laity for candidates proposed for appointments as bishops. Among other proposals, said the briefing, the possibility of transferring some functions from the Roman dicasteries to the local bishops in a spirit of healthy decentralization. For example, the transfer from the Congregation for the Clergy to Episcopal Conferences to examine and authorize the priestly ordination of an unmarried permanent deacon and other similar situations. Thursday, we learned that Pope Francis had written the preface for a new book on corruption by Cardinal Peter Turkson, who now heads the Vatican Dicastery for Integral Human Development. The volume explores the origins and devastating consequences of corruption that the Pope describes as a curse and a cancer that can consume our lives. He said it's the cause of the breakdown of relationships that every human being has with God, our neighbors, and the natural world. Corruption is the worst scourge of societies because it's the lifeblood of the mafia and other criminal organizations. Corruption is also at the origin of all exploitation and trafficking of people, drugs, and weapons, and it's at the heart of injustice, lack of development, unemployment, and social degradation. The Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, in fact, Thursday, hosted an international debate on corruption. This brought together Christians and non-Christians, ecclesiastical and institutional figures, judges, police representatives, victims of crime, journalists, intellectuals, and several ambassadors accredited to the Holy See. So that was a pretty big week with some very big news here at the Vatican. And Friday was a quiet day, by the way, for the Pope. It was mostly consisting of private audiences throughout the morning. And then over the weekend, he will meet German Chancellor Angela Merkel. So that's it for now, but stay tuned for the interview segment and a Q&A. Welcome to the Q&A segment of Vatican Insider. Now, today's question regards the Secretariat of State, and of course, it's closely related to an apostolic nuncio. Now, on June 28, 1988, St. John Paul II promulgated the Apostolic Constitution Pastor Bonus, Good Shepherd, which introduced a reform of the Roman Curia and divided the Secretariat of State into two sections, the section for general affairs and the section for relations with states that incorporated the Council for the Public Affairs of the Church. Now, this guaranteed both unity of purpose and the specificity required in the service that the Secretariat of State is called to offer the Pope. The Secretariat of State is presided over by a cardinal who has the title of Secretary of State. As the Pope's first collaborator in the governance of the Universal Church, the Cardinal Secretary of State is the one primarily responsible for the diplomatic and political activity of the Holy See, in some circumstances representing the person of the Supreme Pontiff himself. The section for relations with states, or the second section of the Secretariat of State, has the specific duty of attending to matters that involve civil governments. It has responsibility for the Holy See's diplomatic relations with states, including the establishment of concordats or similar agreements, and for the Holy See's presence in international organizations and conferences. In special circumstances, by order of the Supreme Pontiff, and consulting with the competent offices of the Roman Curia, this section provides for appointments to particular churches and for their establishment or modification. Also, in close collaboration with the Congregation for Bishops, it attends to the appointment of bishops in countries which have entered into treaties or agreements with the Holy See in accordance with the norms of international law. The Church's apostolic nuncios, or ambassadors, answer to this section of the Secretariat of State.
On 10 with Monsignor Charles Pope. The seventh commandment forbids theft, that is, unjustly taking or keeping another's property against the reasonable will of the owner. It also prohibits deliberate retention of goods, lent, or of objects lost. It prohibits business fraud, paying unjust wages, forcing up prices, and taking advantage of the ignorance or the hardship of another person. It prohibits the appropriation and use for private purposes of common goods. Also, work poorly done, tax evasion, forgery of checks, invoices, excessive expenses, and waste. Under the seventh commandment is also tucked our social justice teachings, because if I have two coats, one of them belongs to the poor, and I reasonably ought to give what belongs to them, because God gave all the goods of this world for all the people of this world. The seventh commandment, you shall not steal.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
I was raised in an Italian Catholic home. We went to church. That's what you did. And now that I'm older, I can't thank my parents enough for allowing me to know about our Lord. Because ultimately, the base that they gave me kept pulling me back to the Catholic Church, even though I wandered as a young adult.
The Doctor is In with Ray Guarendi. Weekdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Well, here we are. It's time for another interview for Vatican Insider. And I've got a wonderful guest this weekend. I've written about her on my blog. You've heard of her. You heard her sing. At least I hope you did, if you saw my videos. My guest is Sara Ego. If you all remember, on December 2nd, I attended an ecumenical Christmas concert in the Church of Our Sorrowful Lady in the Vatican's Campo Teutonico, which is actually a German cemetery. This was in support of Christian refugees from Syria, Jordan, and Lebanon. And the guest of honor was Elijo. Now, Elijo is the professional name, Sarah's professional name, and she's a Syrian Orthodox singer, was born in Augsburg, Germany, and she sang traditional German Christian chorals as well as other songs in Aramaic, the language of Jesus, which I found so thrilling. And she sang Schubert's Ave Maria in Latin and several Christmas carols in English. And I think, Sarah, those were the ones that I posted. So first of all, welcome to Vatican Insider.
Thanks for having me.
You're back in Rome now as we speak. And I had a whole bunch of questions prepared and learned that you today were at the general audience with Pope Francis. So that was in the Paul VI Hall. Must have been quite an experience.
It was great. I came into this impressive room, and there was a magnificent culture in the background of the room.
The sculpture of Jesus rising from, behind the Pope,
I was so impressed by the sculpture. It was very beautiful. And, then everything started, and I was also impressed by the people, because they showed so much love to the Holy Father. And after that, I could meet him personally. And when he stood in front of me, I felt a certain sadness in his expression. I don't know why. It was maybe my personal feeling, but that worried me a little bit. But I know that he has the most responsible job in the world, and so I really can understand that.
Right.
And he was asking me to pray for him, and I will pray for him.
Well, and that is something he does at the end of every group meeting he has, not just Wednesday audience, but the Sunday Angelus. He does ask people to pray for him, and of course we, should. And actually, I mentioned Syria a minute ago, your origin, and you know, that is so much on the Holy Father's mind, and the situation of migrants and refugees in the world, and he sometimes really gets sad, obviously, when the news comes in and he has to deal with that sad. So who knows if it wasn't something like that. So a very exciting morning for you in this second, I think it's the second general audience of the new year.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, Sarah, tell us a little more about your background. You're of Syrian origin, but how was it that you were born in Germany? Was this a question of family emigrating, etc.?
My family was emigrating, you're right. I'm from the Turkish-occupied part of northern Mesopotamia. And this is called by us, by the Assyrian, Tur Abdin. And it has a Christian presence for many years, for over than 2,000 years. And we are Syrian Orthodox Christians, and our culture, heritage is Assyrian, and the language is Aramaic. And yeah, because my grandfather came to Germany, I grew up there, I was born there, and yeah.
Ah, I didn't realize that. So it was your grandfather. And I have to say, every time you, you say Aramaic, and certainly when you sang in it, I just get a smile on my face, because my first experience with Aramaic was in Iraq. It was at Mass at a Chaldean seminary, and the seminarians were learning how to say Mass in several different languages. The particular day I was there, not the whole Mass, but the consecration of the wine and bread into the body and blood of Christ, the consecration was in Aramaic, and of course that would have been the language Jesus used when he turned the wine and bread into his body and blood. So I just love Aramaic. Now, have you ever been to Syria? You're very, very young. Have you ever traveled there?
Unfortunately, no, because of the political situation, I have to say.
Sure.
Me and my parents haven't ever been there. I think it's too dangerous.
Sure. As we speak, it certainly is. The there, you know, you have a ceasefire, and sometimes it's okay, and then it gets weak, and then so it certainly it is dangerous. And what a terrible thing! I can't imagine something like that happening, like to my homeland, where I couldn't go back, or I couldn't even visit, you know, because of the political situation. Well, I certainly hope that 2017 brings peace somehow to the long-suffering Middle East, and if not 2017, very soon that you can, you know, go to Syria. Have you visited other parts of the Middle East?
Unfortunately, no. No. I really want to visit them, but until now I didn't.
The Holy Land, of course, would obviously be so important, and, you know, Jordan, Lebanon. A lot of people do not remember, or perhaps they don't know, that the Holy Land, all of us think of Israel, well, we think of Galilee, we think of Jerusalem, Nazareth, being in the state of Israel, but the Holy Land also comprises Jordan. I have a question about your the concert. It was such a wonderful event, and again, hopefully my listeners were also the viewers of the pictures that I posted and the Facebook Live that I did the night of the concert of your singing in the languages we mentioned. I know you speak English, obviously. Yeah. You were listening to your beautiful English and to German. Do you speak Aramaic and Arabic?
I only speak Aramaic. Unfortunately, I don't speak Arabic. I love the language. It is so beautiful to listen to that language, but maybe one day I will learn it.
I find it's a somewhat, it can be musical at times, Arabic, and I don't know Aramaic. Oh, you were, if I recall, at dinner after the concert, were you not with, you were with a cousin?
With my cousin.
And your mother and your mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so among yourselves, you speak in Aramaic. With family members, your mom.
I do speak Aramaic with my family members. Sometimes we mix it with the German words. That happens sometimes. But yeah, with my grandparents and my family, I speak Aramaic.
Well, it happens to me sometimes that when I'm speaking Italian, maybe the English word is exactly what I want to say, so I kind of I kind of throw that in the middle of a sentence. And I think only people who do speak two or three languages realize
can understand that,
exactly, can understand that. Sarah, when did you realize you had a voice, a career in singing, not just a nice voice, church choir, but a career?
That is a good question. I was very young, but what I can say is that the beauty of my language always inspired me, like from a very early date in my life. And later, since the age of 12, I think, I get into musical training. And then I noticed that I just love to sing and want to do it more professional. So I get professional musical training, and then when I was about 18, I decided to study music. And now I'm studying in a university in Osnabrück, pop music.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, and
so you will have a whole range not only the Christian music and songs like, you know, we say Schubert's Ave Maria in Latin, but pop as well.
Yeah, the thing is, music is so beautiful, and I love different genres and also different kind of voice expressions. Like, it's every music has his own technique and his own style, and I like to try or enjoy them all. So sometimes I sing more classical, sometimes right. more popular songs.
We heard a range, even though it was a Christmas concert of Christian music, we did hear a range in your voice, certainly at that concert. Now, have you produced CDs?
I am working right now on my first single. And yeah, we are also working on an album.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Now, you did it. There is a CD, but is it for sale of the December concert?
Not yet.
Well, I'm actually must ask you, Sarah, to tell us how people can find you. Do you have a website, a Facebook
yeah.
page? So people after today, after listening to this program, they want to know more. Obviously, my listeners know they can write me, but how can they find you?
I have a website. It's called www.ilio.com. Me.
And that is spelled E-L-I-Y-O. That is Sarah's professional name, and
yeah.
she told you, and it's dot me.
Thanks.
So, Sarah, as we speak today, what are your aspirations, your hopes? Do you hope to travel? Where do you want to sing, other than, obviously, we just heard you say producing music CDs?
Because I love traveling, I, of course, would love to travel, if I could, the whole world, like every single piece, because our word is so beautiful. But I never thought like directly about where I want to sing, especially
Carnegie Hall, etc. in America. No, yes, obviously there's very, very famous halls. In the December concert, the music was a recorded music. Your singing wasn't. That was live, but to recorded music. So do you look forward to singing with a small musical group, with an orchestra? What are some of your hopes?
What I love is to of course, when I'm on stage, to make music with real musicians. Of course, orchestra is beautiful. Sometimes it's beautiful to have a whole orchestra who plays with you, but sometimes it's also enough to just have one who plays the piano.
Yes.
And then, like, there's also so much beauty in simple things. So it depends on the situation.
One musical instrument other than the musical instrument of a voice can do wonders. And what do you hope to bring to people through your music?
My biggest dream is that there will be one day peace also in our region, and that our Assyrian Orthodox Christian can live their religion in freedom and in all countries, like in Turkey, in Iraq, in Syria, and in many countries. And that is one of my biggest dreams, and I want to achieve that through music. And I just want to see people happy and make them happy through my music.
And music makes you happy.
And when I see them happy, that makes me also happy. So, yeah, happiness is very important in life.
You know what we should wish for right now? What we're supposed to have wishes and programs and dreams and resolutions at the beginning of a new year. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Sarah, to dream of you, Elio, your professional name, giving a concert in a peaceful Syria? Singing
yes.
for refugees,
yeah.
singing in order, for example, to raise funds for refugees in the land that really is your home.
That's a beautiful imagination. Like, that would be really beautiful, like, also to sing with the people, like, not just for them, just to sing together and feel united somehow.
You know, Sarah, I was just thinking, as we're talking, having experienced the concert, I'm sitting here with you, reliving in my mind's eye, that concert. And I'm also reliving the word you said at the very beginning when you referred to the papal audience today, and you said it might have been just your impression that the Pope seemed sad. And I think what you probably should have done was sing. Because I think that, no, I'm sure you probably never even thought of it. But
I did. Maybe you don't believe me. I did. But sometimes I'm also thinking like, I mean, I don't know if he's somehow busy in a way, or there were so many people who just wanted to meet him. And
sure.
Then you don't want to be the only one like...
Taking his time with the song.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But you certainly would have brought a smile to his face, as you do whenever you do sing, you know. So, Sarah, you were in Rome for this very short period. You got here last night. I believe you're returning to Germany tonight. I want to come and see you sometime when I know you're in a concert there or elsewhere. So my hope today is to make people aware of Sarah, of Elio, and of your musical talents. Someday we'll be sitting here talking about your next CD, where your concerts have taken place, not just will take place, and so forth. So a new, young, inspiring voice on the world scene, folks. You have to go to the website that she gave you earlier, www.elio.me. So, Sarah, I want to thank you for taking out time from a very busy schedule. You were with our mutual friend, Michael Hessman, from Germany, of course. So it's been a very hectic day. You've got hectic times in front
of
you.
But I enjoyed it, I really have to say.
Good.
Like, sometimes it's so much work, like people can't imagine. You go from one place to the other one, meet so many people, then you give interviews. But I really enjoy it, and I love to exchange my thoughts with other people, so...
That's
yeah,
it.
I love my job.
Well, one minute you're in a papal audience, the next minute you're at the Colosseum, and the next minute you're having lunch with a diplomat, and then after that you're doing interviews. And folks, maybe you didn't think about it, but English is not Sarah's mother tongue. Look how beautifully she speaks.
Oh,
so get out there and study a second language, folks. But in the meantime, our time is up. But Sarah, again, thank you, danke, grazie. Merci, shukran, for having been here.
Oh, I have to say thank you. Thank you so much. Grazie mille.
Prego cento. Well, that's it for today, but please come back and join me again next week on Vatican Insiders.